Hello and welcome back to another episode of Biff Pal Bum, where I'm your host, P-Dubs, and joining me as always is my co-host, Tony.
Time?
Yeah.
I can't remember the rest of the line.
Yeah, and quite a bit of time has passed, we should say. We're quite a way behind with this. It's not like we haven't watched it. That we were watching it week by week.
Yeah.
And it's just time got away from us. Unfortunately. Yeah. And obviously we have recorded since the last time we talked about Loki. We recorded our thoughts on the Marvels, but we are here today to talk about episodes 3 and 4 of Loki. Obviously it's been a while. I have rewatched them. I do tend to rewatch them anyway, as most people know. And Tony, I know you do. You like to Eric, watch the catch ups.
Yeah. Eric and Ryan.
Yeah.
They're break things.
Yeah, so we're talking today two episodes 3 and 4, 1893 and Heart of the TVA. So let's jump into 1893. So I'm going to put this here now. We're not talking about 5 and 6. I think this is probably my favourite episode, mainly because it's exactly what we've been asking of Loki.
Yeah,
right from the word go, it's historical stuff.
Yeah.
Loki jumping around in the past.
Yeah.
And quite a major thing as well, the World's Fair. For a lot of people, and especially with this now being a Disney property, the World's Fair is a massive thing for Disney fans, because it's really where Walt got the massive break in terms of theme park technology and stuff like that, and rides that are still in the parks now.
Yeah. They don't do them now, do they? I don't
know. No, it's something else, but they're like very irregular.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's called something else now.
Tech companies all have their own showcases for stuff, don't they?
No, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, very much so. And obviously we've seen this throughout kind of Marvel anyway, because we had the Stark version. We've had a couple of Stark versions, in fact. Throughout the years, obviously the more modern one when Tony turns up drunk, but then we've also got the one in Captain America with Howard. So this is an ongoing thing throughout the Marvel universe. Yeah, they definitely do, and we've got another one here. And let's start off. I've got to say, I love that version of the theme. At the start,
yeah, I was going to mention that the piano was just the ragtime version,
and apparently that was a very last minute addition.
All right.
Originally, they hadn't planned for anything. As we've noted this across a lot of the shows, they've got very random ways of doing this kind of fanfare now. Sometimes it doesn't have anything over it at all. And actually, to bring up the next episode, the next one is a truncated one.
Yeah.
So it's a very random way of working this. Obviously, it became a very famous thing throughout the early years of the MCU.
It's a cool way of sort of leading you into the setting, isn't it? I mean,
yeah,
with this one and the next one, actually, the way they do it.
Yeah, definitely. I really like this. And then diving into the episode, it's good to have Renslayer back. Obviously, she was a massive part of the first season. And it's really, this season's a bit of a bit character, a bit part. Even the later episodes, and we'll talk about it on the next one, very small part this time round. Obviously, this episode kind of revolves around her in a way. But that's about all of her screen time for the season. And then throwing in Miss Minutes, the return of Miss Minutes, with the change, and her 1890s look, like that's gonna hide her in plain sight by turning into an 1890s clock. It's not really gonna save her, is it?
It is funny though.
The
way that her mind works.
They didn't
have animation at that point yet. So
yeah, very much so. And I was going to say, this version of Miss Minutes now, she's kind of, should I say, off the clock. It's very Harley Quinn, isn't it? It's pretty much, she has dived back into her Harley Quinn persona.
Yeah.
Very noticeable. And also, we talked about it on the first two episodes. I feel like Ki-Hai Kwan is a much better rounded character in these later episodes. He doesn't feel like short round anymore. Like he did in the first episode. There was that real hint of excitement with OB early on, and now it's kind of, while that's still there.
Well, so we do get one bit though when later on when you meet in this episode when it, or in the next when they sort of take him to meet and he meets Victor.
Yeah.
He's back to his old.
Yeah, there is that, but there's also this kind of stress that permeates through him because he knows he can't fix anything. Like, he's doing everything he can. And I think that kind of, rather than him being kind of overboard excited, it's kind of a hysteria rather than what we'd seen from Short Round, where it's just pure excitement all the time. This kind of feels like he's bouncing off the walls trying to fix everything, but knows he can't.
Nice little nod to Short Round in the background of this show, though, where he's got a cap, hasn't he, up on the side?
Yeah. And also his character in Goonies as well. He's carrying a bag that's very similar to the one that he wears in Goonies, which is great. And then I suppose we jump into the main crux of the story with Victor. It's a bit difficult to talk about Kang at the moment.
Yes,
for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
We don't know whether this is the last we see of him.
No.
Unfortunately.
We only really at this point talk about him in the context of what we're seeing at the time. And what he's given in this show, especially in this episode, is really good, actually. It's such a different performance from what we've seen of Hero Remains.
Yeah.
And also from Kang the Conqueror in Ant-Man.
Yeah.
It's a this version, this variant, and the performance it's a lot softer, isn't it? He's calculating because he turns out he's a con man at this point.
Yeah, and that was my next note on the story beats itself is the mention of Edison and Holmes at the beginning of it, which is pretty much everything that Victor Timely is. Obviously, this brilliant inventor, but also a con artist.
Yes.
So that nod is pretty much
mass murderer,
yeah exactly. But yeah, it's interesting that they mention that because that is pretty much timely in this. But yeah, I agree. For me, this is probably my favorite performance of Jonathan Majors as a version of Kang. I think just because it is so different from the other two, because the other two we've met are kind of similar.
Yeah.
In terms of, quite clearly, they want to rule the world.
Yeah. Yeah, whereas this guy, he's kind of still trying to find his place a little bit, isn't he, in the world?
Yeah.
He has all these grand ideas, which are only sort of really come to the fore when he gets that book dropped through his window as a kid.
Yeah, exactly. And the performance is so off-kilter as well.
Yeah.
Even from the moment we meet him on that stage, you know there's something slightly off about him.
Yeah, that sort of dramatic pause, his time speech and sort of all that stuff. Because we discover he's got a stutter, so, and I've seen it raised in a couple of issues, and a mate of mine's got a stutter, who's had to use sort of breathing techniques and stuff. And I wonder whether that was the thinking behind it, is that that's Timely's way of trying to cope with his stutter as well.
Yeah, kind of to keep him in place. And I know as well other people. For anybody that doesn't know me, I've been a Watford fan for 30 years. And we've currently got a player he's Swedish. And it's been a massive thing. He did his first interview properly through a stutter. And he has to use the the breathing techniques, as you say, to get him through his interview. So yeah, I can definitely see that.
And I get that's the feeling I got from the, that's Victor's way of sort of not giving that away on stage.
Yeah.
And it's partly dramatic and it's partly a control mechanism, I suspect. And it's really well done, I think.
Yeah. In that respect. Yeah, definitely. Then we get a nod to Asgard, which I thought was really good. And good I do wonder whether that was written before Doctor Strange came out with the whole Boulder thing.
Oh, yeah. With Boulder, yeah.
With him having meant to have been in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. It's a strange little thing, and I do wonder whether that was the case, that it was done before that was changed.
Yeah, yeah. He could have almost picked any god, couldn't they, for that third one?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It could have been. It could have been even been his mom that was up there.
You can find it online. There's a nice clip of Daniel Craig sort of sidestepping a question about Boulder. In an interview.
Definitely. So we're a couple of ones we've already gone through. Loki being called a clown, that's never going to go down well. And it kind of, that brings the Loki that we know back.
Yeah.
That we haven't seen for a while. The God of Mischief. Making him disappear in the middle of the bar.
Yeah, he puts the bloke in a cage. He's just genius. Yeah.
That is proper Loki back that we haven't seen for a while, which I love. Now I want to touch on another returning character, one that we saw in the last episode, and that's Sylvie. I find her a little bit too angsty at times throughout these few episodes. She doesn't really add anything to the story. In these two episodes, she kind of just comes in and is an annoyance more than anything.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because they built such a great character in the first season.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it doesn't.
Yeah, because she's throughout the episode that there's little looks and digs she makes and stuff, and she later on she watches Timely and OB sort of shake hands and she gives him a dirty look. And there's also that bit there where OB sort of mentions to pointing a comment at her about killing her remains, and she's actually quite pleased with herself. And she isn't, she hasn't really moved on from that end of the first series, is she, in that respect?
No.
I think.
No, and it's a shame because she was a great character in that first season. She was a real kind of fresh air. What's that? But yeah, it was a shame, and I'm going to say this at this point as well. The female characters seem to have become the throwaway villain throughout the MCU in recent years, because obviously we've now got Sylvie Renslayer in this. We had the villain in the Marvels. That seems to have been the path that they've gone down. They introduced women
the latest rumor is that maybe the Silver Surfer might be one as well.
Yeah, and that seems to be a path they're going down, and which I don't know whether it's the right one.
The service a little bit, I think, as well.
Yeah, very much so. It's a real shame. Mm. And I do feel that they build these relationships up, and kind of the six episode arc kind of limits how far they can take relationships. And obviously, as we say, they've pretty much cut the Loki and Sylvie relationship away. And I also feel like in these episodes that they didn't really have time to build that relationship between Victor and Renslayer that seemed to be there. And then all of a sudden he just chucks her out of a boat and it's done. I feel like there could have been more meat to that. It doesn't really hurt us as viewers that he turns on her, because they've only been with each other for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Because he lets Miss Minutes get in his head, doesn't she? And then he
Yeah.
The boat is down in the water, and because he doesn't do partners, does he? That's
No.
the thing, which kind of flies in the face of the comics a little bit in terms of
Yeah.
their relationship.
Yeah, it's hard to take when you want something more, and they're not giving it to you because of the short running times. One thing we do get, a couple of mentions of the multiversal war that's to come. We all know what that is. That's Secret Wars that's coming down the line somewhere. Which is nice. I did say, and I thought this was appropriate for the time, because I know both of us have been doing a bit of a rewatch. I think Loki has more costume changes than the Doctor. Every episode, he's in at least two different costumes throughout this season. Which is
Maybe a contract.
just ridiculous. And then my first note, I thought the decomposed body at the end of time was a nice touch. Because they could have just left him there as he was when we left him. But I thought that was a nice little touch. But that was my final note. Have you got anything else you want to chuck in on episode three?
A couple of things that stood out for me. They're sort of like there's the I love the little the German Omper band playing the Loki theme. Quite nice in inside the expo hall. And just before that, there's a and I've seen it raised in one or two places. There's a one of the entertainers is listed as Ferdinand Lang, and I just wonder whether that's an early Scott Lang ancestor, maybe perhaps.
Possibly, yeah. That's
Just
a
as
nice little touch.
I thought the sulky Loki was quite funny in that looking at those three
Yeah.
statues and Thor's not that big.
Yeah, bit of jealousy there. Though I thought the Odin one looked just like Anthony Hopkins.
And I don't know how much he was supposed to be, but I'd written down here the wrong trousers because that scene with the trousers exactly reminded me of Wallace and Gromit when the guy comes to. But as I was just pointing out one of the breakdown videos, you can see Victor's con man right there and there because he drops his height to make it look like the guy's taller with trousers
Yeah.
on.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I like there were some lovely touches by Jonathan Majors in this episode.
You just see his con man mind working, and it's really good.
Yeah.
And the one other thing, I suppose, that's sort of that is towards the end of the episode, is that weird bit with Miss Minutes sticks her face on top of one of those mannequins, and it is so creepy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when she starts running towards to Victor, as if she's going to basically snog him, I think. Also, that was the vibe I got.
Yeah.
And then he turns her off in the midst of her saying, "I love you," which then he's picked up towards at the end of that, of course. Yes, like yourself, the corpse was very, very creepy.
Yeah.
But then that sort of nice sort of cliffhanger end and the back sort of Miss Minutes saying, "Oh, I know something you don't,"
Yeah.
basically. And gives us like a nice little sort of run into the next episode then.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, as I say, moving on. The next episode four, Heart of the TVA. As we talked about, the truncated fanfare. No sound, just a very, very short Marvel logo going into the Loki version. And that was it. The first thing I picked up, and I don't know whether you've noticed this, I feel like the end of time kind of reminds me of Nowhere from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, she does a little bit, yeah. And just at the same time as that, I'd written down for the end of that credit sequence into the I'd written Doctor Who wormhole. That's the thing I got from the sort of sweet and Stargate as well. No, it does give that Nowhere vibe to that sort of to his castle area, basically, I think.
And I did say at this point, Tom did kind of take a back seat in episode three, because it was very much about Ramona. I've been watching too much Scott Pilgrim. Ravona Renslayer. And Victor very much were the two leads in episode three, and Tom was kind of the side piece as much as anything. That was kind of always a couple of steps behind, but he really does show his gravitas in this episode as to why he's become the leading man that he has. There's some great moments, but not just that. I also think there's some other great pairings, as we talked about previously. The chemistry between Ki-Hai Kwan and Jonathan Majors is fantastic in this.
Yes.
They really bounce off each other as kind of, well, in this case, they are two ends of the same story.
Yeah.
Building the TVA manual together, which I still can't work out. Who wrote in it first? And who? very confusing.
Yeah,
I want to know who that guard is that gets offed in the end, because he's got a really awful attitude, hiding in the background until he gets offed towards the end of the episode.
He was season episode two, was it, where he had a bit to do with it?
Yeah.
Episode one where they're trying to shut down the bomb sequence.
Yeah.
Track down all the bombs, I think.
Yeah.
I'm more on the TVA soldiers in a minute.
Yeah, very much so. And we really get our only kind of Loki Sylvie scene of the season in this episode. When they kind of have the heart to heart, don't they, about her doing what she needs to do.
Mm.
Previously, she kind of wasn't interested in that. And then
it's just this thing, the scene with the automat.
Yeah.
All that key lime pie is just weird as well.
There's got to be an explanation as to why it's key lime pie. There's got to be some kind of reason.
One or two of the breakdown videos I've watched just sort of suggested that it's a bit Soylent Green, and that's actually prune people or something, or special.
Wouldn't surprise me. As you say, we do have to talk about other TVA agents.
That sequence is brutal.
Yeah,
and the changing character in Miss Minutes, she's nasty. Just the look on her face as she watches. Because we know you don't need to see it. Just the use of sound is fantastic.
Yeah,
and also on the look on
Brad's
face as well.
Yeah, but it had to be. He had to be the only asshole that went with him.
Yeah,
couldn't be anybody else. But it turns on him in the end, doesn't it?
But his work in that episode is great. It's in that scene, especially the face work that he's doing.
Yeah.
It's all on him, and the sounds that we hear, and his reactions are fantastic. And also a nice little moment with the docs as well before they get off. But it's brutal. And it's all led by Miss Minutes, which he switches on what I call the vacuum cleaner.
It is basically a big vacuum cleaner, isn't it?
Yeah. And she, for me, is the big bad of this series, two.
Yeah.
And it's right there and then, and in that moment, the pleasure look on her face when they're all being squished.
Yeah.
And then sort of intersplice that with B-15 coming in a bit later. You could still hear the glooping.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bubbling, isn't it?
Yeah, which then, of course, cuts into the cup of coffee.
Which
goes back to what I was saying a minute ago about the use of those squished people as food.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're kind of suggesting with that shot a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah,
sort of drips down into the coffee cup. I'm like, ooh, that's
very much so. And then touching on what we talked about with the previous episode, that how timely is probably my favourite of the variants that we've met. It's a shame that it comes at this point when possibly this is the last we see of him. But it also does make it a heck of a lot easier to move on.
Yeah, but I think it's one of the single best jaw drop moments in the MCU I've seen.
Yeah.
Just do not see that coming. What happens to Victor in that episode?
No, it's an upset. And that was my last night. It's so surprising that they leave that as the cliffhanger. That literally, it's the last shot of him just falling apart.
And then the boom, isn't it? They cut back to Loki, and then the boom.
Yeah.
But that just that whole sequence, just because they've set him up as he's going to be there and he's going to sort of help fix the loom. Because I assume that without drawing too much on the finale, that it wasn't going to play out like he did. And I thought it was going to be all about fixing the loom in some way, in shape or form, and just going back to that reset loom. But for them to pull that off was just.
Yeah.
Oh man, and also the graphic nature of it as well. You can see bits of bone.
Yeah.
His
yeah, it's, and the muscle. You can see the sinews in the muscle as he pulls away. And honestly, that it's one hit after another, isn't it? Because obviously they get rid of Ravonna as well.
Yeah.
Pretty much at the same time, and it's like, oh, they've just got rid of like the two lead cast members from the previous episode.
That was another nice moment as well for the actor, the Brad Sylvie bit. And I thought that was Sylvie presenting Brad. He does that so well when he walks in the room. And
yeah.
But it's just brutal the way that he's straight in and just pruned straight away.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that.
Of course, we'd had the sort of the Loki pruning had gone full circle just before that as well.
Yeah. So yeah. I thought that was really clever how they did that. Because it made you think that it was Sylvie that had done it to him.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't. He did it to himself, which is brilliant. I love that. So that was pretty much my notes. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, just a couple other bits in what put you in that closing sequence. Again, the shutdown of Miss Minutes, she just gets so nasty and weird. When she's sort of... Although I love the bit where Victor thinks that she's taking the piss and stuttering because he doesn't know what sort of digital shutdown is.
Yeah.
And then when she tells him you'll never be him, and it's so nasty the way she delivers it.
Yeah. Considering she's just about to switch off.
Yeah.
And
she's clearly done it in a way to make him make that decision at the end of the episode where and she's playing him basically. But I love that. The surprise of that ending of that episode, just, and that's what I want from them. MCU is to occasionally make my jaw hit the floor.
Yeah, and that's what they used to do on a regular basis.
Yeah,
and they don't do that anymore. A lot of it's kind of a wet blanket at times. There's no.
I mean, going back through for the early phases, and I mean, even that can be even in the fight scenes. I mean, like one of their best fight scenes was Cap fighting all those agents in a lift.
Yeah,
because it shouldn't work, and yet it does, and you're stuck. Oh my wow!
Yeah,
and there's not been enough in this last phase of that, really.
And it was never just kind of all in one spot within a film or a series. It could open with something that absolutely drops your jaw. I remember watching that first scene in Civil War when Wanda blows up the building by mistake.
Yeah, that sequence. Yeah, that was just and you think bloody hell.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's the first scene in the film. And then obviously you've got even up till Endgame, the whole Vision and Wanda versus the Black Order.
Mm.
And Cap walks in.
Yeah.
And saves them. And it's like, oh, they're back. Whereas for a long time, outside of Loki, really, there's been no high stakes like that.
No, and that's the one thing that this show has done, I think, over the 2 years, two series in quite a good way.
Yeah.
And that just the end of the episode without that flash to white, and you think, bloody hell, where are they going to go in episode 5?
Yeah. Yeah. And we will talk about episode 5 on the next episode. So, that's our thoughts on the middle portion of Loki season 2. It's taken us a while. We have had breaks. Me specifically, I've been away and we just haven't had time. We've fitted in other shows where we've been able to. So we will be back short round for episodes 5 and 6 before we're only 3 weeks away now from What If coming back.
Yeah.
When we thought we were going to be quiet over Christmas. So thank you, Marvel. But, thank you, Tony, as always. And we will see you on the next episode to talk about Loki, episode 5 and 6, and the finale, possibly forever. I'm guessing it probably will be. But we'll talk more about that on the next episode. So we will see you somewhere down the road.